Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read several verses here, just kind of give a little bit of a, more than just the one or two verses that you would take and try to exploit. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing and that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In these shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. All right, we'll stop there. Several times in the Bible, Jesus talks about he that hath ears to hear. And I was going to go through the book of Mark this morning and just take the gospel according to Mark. And one of the verses right away there is, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's just do that. Let's go back to Mark here just a minute. We'll kind of get on to where we're going. See where the Lord leads us here. I just had a few verses I was just going to go down through here, and just the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. What happens? The gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, or before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The Lord sent a messenger before he sent Jesus to prepare the way for him. This is the gospel, according to Brother Mark. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Skip on over to verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. This is the gospel. Skip on over here to chapter 2. Chapter 4, verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, asked the parable. He gives it how he explained that to the 12. In verse 23, again he says, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye shall meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall be more given. Hearing Jesus. Whenever the apostle was sitting there, and Jesus came through and said, follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. He wasn't trying to turn the gospel into a new tangled law book. He wasn't trying to turn the New Testament into a new law book. He said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. It's not that we obey every little rule and every little law. Not that they're to be neglected at all. Not at all. You can keep all of those laws and all of those rules. You can follow the New Testament to the very letter and not hear the voice of Jesus and rise up and be following and walking after him. He that hath ears to hear, I'm going to follow Jesus, has ears to hear. And he's guided us and given the word of God and the principles and the teachings and the commandments of the New Testament to follow. But the purpose for following them is to lead us to Jesus. We're not just bound by this letter of laws. That's exactly what happened in the Old Testament that is condemned by so many today. They were trying to get life out of the law. And the law, you can only keep it for so long until you break it, and then you're guilty, you die. That's why the law, the letter of the law, can't give you life. Because if you follow after that, as soon as you stumble, you're dead. Game over. You can't find life, because in order to have life, you have to have it first. And then, as soon as you make a mistake, you're dead. But when you hear the call of Jesus, you're following him. And the law, the spirit of following Jesus, we use this word to guide us to him, to bring us to him. Kind of explaining this as a way of, probably ought to be what really where we would finish today concerning trying to explain what happened Friday evening. We were in Springfield, and we had several really good visits with some people that were open. I mean, just one right after another. Just one young lady, just for an example, came up and she just fell down on her knees right behind me and said, "Satan, forgive me for what I'm about to do." She had the appearance of evil. And she stood up and then she said, What are you trying to say here? I was brought up in a Catholic home. I was brought up in a religious home. What are you trying to tell me?" And I just began to teach her and tell her about Jesus and how he expected us to follow him. And just because she was brought up in a religious home didn't mean one thing to me. Wasn't impressive. It wasn't impressive to God. And it didn't have anything to do with following Jesus. And she stood there and listened. It was a real blessing just to hear. And then at the end, she just stuck out her hand and shook hands and said, "I've never heard anything like that," basically. And she went on her way. Two or three things like that happened. And then the Pharisees got stirred up. I'm just going to label them that because that's about what fits them best. And they come up and started right away in on, "Your approach is all wrong. You're driving people away from Jesus." And just went over and over and just arguing and discussing and trying to persuade us that what we were doing was all wrong. That no one was listening. And it just got more and more and more of them began gathering around there, arguing, and all of them trying to justify. Well, I'm a Bible student. I just thought of it later. I don't always think of the right thing to say at the right time, but when I got home that night, I thought, you know, the Pharisees would come up and say, "Well, I studied under Gamaliel. I study under him. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a scribe, or I'm going to be a Pharisee, and I'm studying under this such and such preacher. I'm going to college." And how similar they had their reputation staked on which college they attended, just like the Pharisees would stake their reputation on which teacher they would have learned under. And we see that Paul giving that definition. Anyway, this one man that was really arguing and really giving it to us, he looked up and he said, "Oh, look, there's Dr. So-and-so coming." And here this preacher and his wife and kind of a little entourage came walking through there. And this man walked over there, just stepped up from where he was talking to us, and he said, "Oh, Dr. So-and-so, how you doing?" Like he knew him. And the man just kind of looked at him and said, "Well, yeah, never even missed a step," and walked right on. And the man come back with his head. He said, he didn't even remember who I was. He didn't know who I was. He's all disappointed. And I thought, well, okay, you're studying and you're wanting to be like that man. He came back over and he said, "Yeah, I remember in his class he said something and, oh, it's so brilliant, so good. I was so inspired by it." And here, he didn't even know who he was when he walked by. He didn't care. He didn't even care who he was. And here he's trying to tell us that, oh, you don't care for people. You don't care for people. You're just here preaching to make people mad and do all of this. You're not here out of love reaching these people. And here he was trying to emulate this man. And this man just walked right by and didn't even care a bit about his own disciple. This man was arguing with us just over and over. You need to be making disciples. You're just out here throwing out these words. Nobody, you're not teaching anybody. You need to teach somebody. And here his famous teacher come walking by, and he was supposed to be his disciple, and he didn't even know who he was. Who's a Pharisee? Who's keeping the law? And it's just so simple when you get home sometimes how it unfolds. It's so difficult when you're out there talking to them to see through all of that. But when you get home, it just falls off, peels like an onion, and you can just read it leaf by leaf. Anyway, we kept on talking there for a while, and pretty soon this other group came up. They're another group down the street, and they had earrings, tattoos, long hair, cursing and swearing, and you're just turning people away from the gospel, he said. You're just making people want to run away from God by throwing out these laws and these words. And he said, "I know where you're from. I've talked to you a lot. Go on back to Monette. We don't want you up here. We're doing this just fine. You're just making it harder for us to win people to Jesus." And he kept arguing, kept getting more and more upset. And David said, he started to back up, and David said something like, "You're of your father the devil and the works you do." And he just turned around and he got right, and he said, "Don't you ever say that again, that I'm the father of the devil, or that my father's the devil." And he walked off, and David said something else, and he turned around and he threatened. He said, I'm going to come back there and just beat you. And he walked on across the street and was just hollering, angry. And I believe if it wasn't for the restraint of a few laws and he would have gladly killed us. He was a murderer, just like his father, the devil. So anyway, he went away, and then a few more came up. We left later that evening. Last night, we went back, and we were there for a while, and it was pretty slow for a good bit. And then pretty soon this whole group of people came walking up. And they all had signs. I couldn't even read them. They were across the street. But they sat down and they started singing "Jesus Loves Me." And they started, some of their signs was, they were against anything that we were just portraying. They were trying to put something out opposite. And here it was, this man that the night before had threatened to kill us. But he had about 7 or 8 people across the street saying how much Jesus loved him. And talking to people. And everyone that would come up, they'd point over at us and start fussing about us, how we were wrong, and trying to build everyone's, to try to turn everyone against us. And pretty soon, after a while, there was a man came up, and he was real, I don't know, he dressed different. He was just simply dressed. And he started talking to them, this group. And all of a sudden, he just backed up from them. And he came right over to us. And he said, "I thought you all were together. Those people are against you." And he said, "I just want to shake your hand. You're doing what's right. You're standing up for what's right. What you're saying is true. And I believe it. And they're over there just making a mockery of God with the way they're doing, saying that they're saved, and then they can just live however they want to." And we started talking with him, and he wasn't really listening, but he was certainly agreeing, but he did want to keep everything in his control pretty well. But we asked him about non-resistance. Yes, he agreed with that. We asked him about the covering. Yes, he agreed with that. And just on and on and on. And he just agreed that what we were doing was right. And we were just thinking, wow, here's a man that's open and honest and looking. And he was there for a while, and then he said, "Well, I'm going to go back over the street there and talk to them again." So he went back over there and talked to them some more. And all of a sudden he just backed up and he turned around and he come right back to us. He said, "I want to know something. Are you a sinner?" Completely different attitude than what he had before. And he said, "I want to give you the benefit of the doubt." What he was doing was trying to judge between two groups. Which one was right? Or more that we were wrong, even though he said he didn't agree with the other group. And he said, "Are you sinners?" And we said, "Not anymore." He just, "Wait a minute. Are you sinners? Do you ever sin?" Trying to trap us. And he said, "Look me in the eye." Or he said, "If Jesus was here, have you sinned today?" And I said, "And I went through my conscience. Not that I might not have, but nothing came to my mind. Nothing jumped out and said, oh yeah, remember you got mad when you mashed your finger when that piece of equipment didn't go in somewhere. Or nothing like that came into my mind. Not that I can remember. And then he went down the row and he asked the others. And I believe everyone answered him honestly in their conscience. Not that I remember. He said, what about in the last week? And again, I went over the last week or thought. Not that I remember. He said, okay, what about in the last year? I said, well, yeah, I'm sure there is. And I have. Okay, so you're a sinner then. I said, no, I was a sinner. I'm following Jesus now. And he tried to make, well, what about in your thoughts? Have you had a bad thought? And what he was trying to do was bring us to the place where that we are absolutely corrupted, and that even though he's talking about grace and being saved and said he understood it the way we did, we all had to be absolute sinners, and there was nothing that we could do in the end but just believe or imagine in our heart that Jesus was saving us. And I looked at the man and I said, you're going to wind up right back over there in that camp. You're going to wind up believing, you're going to wind up agreeing with those people across the street before this is all over. That's where this ends. You're not listening to us. He said, well, you're just trying, you're arrogant, you're proud, you're saying you don't. What do you want us to do? Lie to you? Do you want us to make something up so that we can pretend like we're humble and saying, oh, yes, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner? We don't feel like we are anything. We don't feel proud because of what we're doing or where we're at. We're following Jesus. We're not trying to stand out here and say, hey, look at me, we never sin. We don't do anything wrong. We're just simply putting into practice following Jesus. And I began to try to tell him my testimony. I was just like you. I grew up and I was a hypocrite because I was trying to keep all of these laws and all of these rules just like you're doing. And when I failed, I was a failure. That's keeping the law. That's trying to receive the Spirit by the works of the flesh, by the law. Even though they've taken the gospel where Jesus talked about our thoughts, they try to condemn people with their thoughts even. Oh, you had a bad thought. Did you get mad? You're a murderer. Did you look at a woman? You're an adulterer. And the only hope that you have is just to accept the fact that that's what you are and believe in Jesus. What he was a Paul Washer. He had the message of Paul Washer. I've got something different because I'm obeying all these. I'm zealous. I've got all of this outside stuff. But I still come right back to the very thing that the people across the street that say you can just do whatever you like because there's nothing you can do. And I said, there's only one end to what you're teaching. You belong across the street. And he wouldn't hear that there was something better. There was actually something about hearing and following Jesus. We're not under the works of the law and the works of the flesh. We're not trying to, oh, I had a bad thought, I'm lost now. Oh, I've stumbled. We're following Jesus. We heard his voice. And it's real. It's not just, okay, I'm free to do whatever I want now. It's hearing the voice of God and call and following him. He then said, are you good? These are arguments. He's asking questions. And they're foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians. It'd be like saying, they came after we got home, or we're coming home. It was, the thought came, the Pharisees, they came up and they tried to entangle him in his words. They asked questions. And it'd be like this question I'll ask of you. See how to ask it just right. Okay, no. What I asked was, when did you stop lying? When did you stop lying to your parents? Or when did you stop stealing from your parents? Well, if you say, I stopped, that means I've been doing it. And if you say, well, I didn't, I'm not, I didn't. Oh, you didn't stop? You're still doing it? When did you stop cheating on your wife, Marcus? If you say, I didn't, oh, so you're still doing it? No. When did you stop? You can't answer it. You can't answer that question. It's a trap. And that's what they're doing. They think up these questions that you can't answer properly because they're trying to entangle you. And that's what they do when they ask these questions. Are you a sinner? They're trying to entangle you because any way you answer it, you're wrong. And they'll take it and twist it and use it against you. He asks us, are you good? Are you good? Bible says that we're to be good. What's some of the verses that you looked up just? Okay. We said yes. We're good. Oh, you're arrogant. You're proud. He said you're a liar because Jesus said there is none good. Jesus asked the rich young ruler about goodness and he said there's only one good and that is God. You're calling yourself God. That's what he said. You're a blasphemer. And he just kept on and on with that. He went down the row and said, are you good? Yes. You're a blasphemer. He had a whole row and he said, you're making yourself equal with God. And yet, well, we couldn't think of anything last night to argue and give the answers, but we knew. What are we going to do? Say, no, I'm evil. I'm a murderer. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. Still, we'd be lying. Not that we're trying to say we're good. But we are either saints or we're sinners. We're either following Jesus or we are sinners. And you can't get the two mixed up. And it would be a lie to say anything different. And it's not out of pride that we would say that. We're striving to be good. And by God's grace, we can be. Because he's guiding us. Because we're following him. Because he's given us his spirit. Because we have Jesus to guide us and to follow us. And he fills us. And we tried to say, if we're filled with Christ and the Holy Spirit, and then say we're evil? What are we doing? We're right or we're wrong. But to admit that, oh, you're proud, you're blaspheming, you're saying you're equal with God. And he went right down the row. And he had the same spiel for everyone that would say, yes, we're good. What's another verse? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. What's another one? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What are we? The Bible's full of things like that. We couldn't think of them at the time. We don't have to win all the arguments. But when you come home and you take what even what that man was saying against us, and we examine ourselves by it, and we examine what he said with the word of God, we come home and was kind of beat up. Didn't get home till 1 o'clock, but some had time, several went home, been looking. Two or three people came up this morning. Look what this, look what I found.
I just thought of one. Peter said, I see that God is no respecter of persons, but that all men everywhere that fear him and do it righteousness are accepted by the Lord.
Yes. John said, he that doeth good is of God. I mean, it's just full of things like that. But he had it twisted in such a way that even we were, oh, are we good or not? We knew we couldn't answer it any other way. But it condemned us in his eyes. And he got upset. And finally we just asked him, are you righteous? And he said, yes, I'm righteous. And I said, now wait a minute. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, no, my righteousness is in Christ Jesus because it's imputed unto me. And he wouldn't hear of it. It's different. It's different, he said. You called yourself like God. And he got mad. And he started preaching, screaming loud. I believe that Jesus Christ died for all sinners, and I'm a sinner. And going on and on, just loud, screaming. Everybody looked. The police came over, just made a big fuss. And these, you're a blasphemers. You're saying you're good and equal with God. And he finally calmed down. And he walked right across the street and told them, you're right. They're messed up. He wound up in the same camp. He agreed with us to the letter of the law. But he wound up that faith that we're preaching against, this phony faith that's acceptable from every group that's taught around the world, this faith, winds up in the lowest, debased camp of people who call themselves Christians living by faith, no matter how strict they adhere to the outward law. It all winds up in the same boat. They can't get along with each other. Because one of them's doing this and one of them's doing that. And I know I'm keeping it better than you are. I'm even keeping my mind clear. But they all wind up right in the same boat. They don't have ears to hear. They're not following Jesus. They're keeping the law. Go on. But I think it's pretty simple. To those who are wanting to walk in the light. We're not trying to exalt ourselves and think we're proud and think we're above everyone else and we've got it figured out, because we don't. I learned a bunch last night. And a bunch this morning, because I took what he said. We took what he said, and we examined our own lives with what he said. And I hope he did the same. I hope he even listened to his own words and went home and did the same. An honest man, a corrupt man, start over, a liar and a corrupt man cannot understand an honest man. We're looking for people who are looking for truth. We're not looking for people who are perfect. We're looking for people who are looking for honesty. And even though it may make you sound proud or may make you appear arrogant, I just thought about that. He accused us of arrogance. He was strutting around like a banty rooster and screaming and yelling like a peacock and calling us arrogant. He was setting himself up between the two groups. I'm going to determine which one of you is right. That's arrogance. Pride. And he was hurling those things at us like you wouldn't believe. And they were all standing there cheering him on. They're in the same camp. May the Lord add his blessings. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.